Larry Saunders, appearing on behalf of the appellant, Carl Maldonado, registration number 21194. The basic issue in this case is whether a shoulder injury should be rated as an extremity injury or as a whole person injury in this case. And I believe the law on this issue was accurately stated in the opinion of the Industrial Claims Appeals Office, and the law is the legal standards for decades. Is that if there is an injury to the shoulder, if the shoulder injury causes a functional impairment beyond the use of the arm, then it's treated as being a whole person impairment.
Actually, I saw that in the ICAO's opinion, but I haven't seen that in any reported appellate decision. And in fact, the Worthen case involved an ALJ's finding that the movement of the shoulder caused the injury to the other area of the cervical spine. That looks a lot like what we've got here.
No, actually, it's not in any way close, and for a couple of reasons. In the Worthen case,
how about, first of all, is, you know, the ICAO recognized the test that you're stating.
Yes.
But what case, what division, or Colorado Supreme Court case would endorse your articulation of the test?
I believe the two cases that are actually, so I believe the Worthen case does, if you correctly
read it. I didn't
find
it.
Well, I also believe the other case that was cited even by the ICAO, the Strach case versus PSL, I believe both those cases do lay out the standard, and I did reference those in the reply brief that I did file. And I believe the difference is in the Worthen case, in that case, the reason why it's distinguishable from this one, there actually was a neck injury. And the findings of fact in that case were that all the neck pain was being caused by a neck injury.
Actually, I think the ALJ found that the movement of the shoulder was causing the neck injury.
The pain wasn't coming from the shoulder. It was coming from the neck in Worthen. If you move with your shoulder and you have no injury to the shoulder, the facts in Worthen would be the neck is still going to hurt. That's where the pain is coming from, and that's where it was a neck injury. Here, all the evidence is, all of it, is that all the neck pain is coming from the shoulder, not coming from the neck injury. And in fact, if you think about it this way, let's say we have a neck injury here. let's say a neck injury really did happen, and Mr. Maldonado was at work and he hurt his neck in addition to his shoulder. And then at the end of the case, after he treats, his neck injury is not causing any pain in his neck, and it's not causing any limitations in his range of motion. Under the Workers' Compensation Act, he would get a 0% impairment for that neck injury, because only a neck injury that causes a permanent problem gets an impairment rating. And what the facts are here that are undisputed is that this alleged neck injury causes no pain and no limitations of movement. And so by any standard under the Workers' Compensation Act, such an injury gets a 0% rating. It does not exist. It causes no impairment, no effect. And when you have the shoulder injury, where it's just causing the neck pain, it's causing the limitations in the range of motion, then it's always been treated for decades since, I think, the beginning that this issue has come up, it's a whole person impairment.
Yeah, I guess I'm confused, because it seems like injury in this area is a term of art, but it doesn't necessarily mean like two different physical defects. It talks about if the pain manifests. And so if you have a shoulder injury that causes pain or impairment to manifest in the neck, why isn't that two injuries?
Well, I think it's a very bizarre way to interpret the injury, but if you did, the shoulder injury would always be on the schedule. It would never be an issue. Because any time the shoulder would cause pain beyond the arm, you would just say, oh, that pain is a separate injury. Even though there was no injury there's no medical diagnosis. So using that standard, when would you ever say that a shoulder injury was off the schedule? And yet we know that that's not the case, that a shoulder injury that causes pain beyond the use of the arm, that affects body parts beyond the use of the arm, has always been treated as a whole person impairment, not as a scheduled one.
And you're saying that's the Strach case?
Yes, and that's been the standard, and that's the standard that the Industrial Claims Appeals Office used. So if you use the standard and apply it correctly to the facts of this case, the shoulder injury would be off the schedule. If you say, now we're going to change the rules of the game, and we're going to say that the shoulder's causing pain beyond the use of the arm, we're going to refer to that pain as an injury, then when would you ever find the shoulder off the schedule? And if you do say that there's an injury there, and it's not causing any pain, why would you ever rate it under the Workers' Compensation Act? There is no evidence in this case that any neck pain or any limitations in the range of motion for the neck is coming from the neck. It's all coming from the shoulder. So how does this mysterious thing work where we say that there's pain being caused by the shoulder going off the use of the arm, we're magically going to call this a separate injury now, and we're going to give it an impairment rating even though this neck injury is not causing any problems? I mean, I think that violates two fundamental standards in the Workers' Compensation Act. It really makes no sense. And this, and as I pointed out in my brief, I think the law here, if this is accepted, it really does change the dynamics of workers' compensation law in the state of Colorado. That every shoulder injury is going to be on the schedule. And you can say, well, in this case, he got a 3% impairment for his range of motion for his neck, and if the shoulder injury causes some problems with the neck, but it gets a zero rating, then it's going to be off the schedule. Two problems with that. First of all, that would mean that shoulder injuries that aren't as bad as injuries that do cause an actual verified impairment rating on the neck, they stay on the schedule and get lower money. And the more serious, the less serious injury gets more money than the more serious injury, which makes no sense in interpreting the statute that's designed to protect injured workers in the state of Colorado. The other thing is, it's not necessarily true, because you can say it's still a separate neck injury and its rating is zero, so you just go to the combination statute that the respondent has cited and you combine the zero with the extremity. So in every single case, you could just say that pain beyond the shoulder is an injury and there's no conversion ever. I mean, this decision, if it's allowed to stand, prevents any shoulder injury from ever being off the schedule. And that's what I think it's simply wrong, and they misapplied the law in this case for that reason. Anybody else have any other questions? Thank you.
You have 7 minutes and 51 seconds left.
Good morning, Nancy Hummel, 31471 for the state of Colorado. Your Honor, the administrative law judge made a factual decision that the claimant sustained two separate injuries, that the claimant sustained an injury to his shoulder and that the claimant sustained an injury to his neck. There's substantial evidence in the record to support the administrative law judge's decision regarding the injuries that the claimant sustained and the impairment that claimant sustained. In the Warden case, the Court of Appeals held that where an accident causes impairment to two parts of the body, the claimant can have two injuries, two separate injuries, thus triggering 842.107b2, which provides that if there are two ratings, one a whole person and an off the schedule rating and a schedule rating, that those are to be compensated separately. And this is exactly what occurred here. The judge made a factual determination that there was a shoulder injury and a neck injury and compensated the claimant separately for each of those ratings. And because there is substantial evidence in the record to support the administrative law judge's decision, this decision should be upheld. These facts are very similar to the Worthen case, and I believe that the law was set forth very clearly in that case.
I'm sorry, go ahead, Judge.
Why don't you answer the question that Mr. Saunders asked? When would you find a shoulder injury off the schedule?
Well, in this case, there was specific range of motion disorder found in the cervical spine. There are times when a person could have a shoulder injury, but doesn't necessarily have. It is up to the discretion of the treating physician to determine to issue a separate rating for the neck. There may not be specific range of motion to the neck, but there could be functional impairment in the back muscles and other muscles that would not necessarily trigger a specific cervical rating, but the shoulder could still be found to be off the schedule. I've had cases where the claimant has sleeping disorders or other, can't sleep on its shoulder, and the judges have found that because that affects the person's ability to sleep or otherwise move, that is off the schedule. So there, I think there are a variety of cases where a shoulder alone could be compensated off the schedule.
Do you agree with the articulation of the test that counsel has has suggested that if there is a functional impairment beyond the shoulder, that it is to be compensated only as an off-the-schedule injury?
I do not. I believe it's a factual determination for the, I think the courts, the cases are clear that it is up to the judge to determine that based on the evidence presented at the hearing.
Well, let me ask you, can you treat the same thing two different ways? In other words, in the answer is yes. You can award it either as a whole person injury, or you can award it as two separate injuries. You can do it either way.
I don't.
You have the discretion to treat the same thing two ways.
I think the judge has the discretion based on the evidence that is presented at the hearing how that particular injury is to be treated, and it also depends on how that particular injury is rated by either the treating physician or the dying physician.
Well, the dying physician said here that basically there wasn't a separate injury, that the neck was affected by the shoulder and therefore was deserving of just one whole person compensation. What authority does the ALJ have to ignore or disregard that opinion?
Well, I believe that the way the dying physician rated the claimant by awarding a injury for a 7% or a specific shoulder rating and a specific neck rating, according to Worthen, he did that rating by the dying physician indicated that there are two injuries.
And he went on, didn't he, to indicate that the neck is, because the neck is secondary to the shoulder injury, that he thought that the rating should be combined to a whole person injury?
I do not believe the dying physician said that. The physicians are required under Rule 12.4C to combine all ratings into a whole person rating, and that's specifically for purposes of determining the statutory cap. So the physicians are required to do that under Rule 12.4C of the Workers' Compensation Rules of Procedure. So they must do that in all cases. If there's five separate injuries, the physician is instructed by the division to combine them into one whole person rating. And I don't think that does not necessarily mean that the physician is combining them for purposes of conversion. It is up to the claimant to prove the question of whether there's a conversion from scheduled rating to a whole person rating is a question of fact for the ALJ, and I think the cases are very clear on that. So it's the opinion of us that this was a factual determination made by the judge. In his order, the judge specifically stated there was an injury to the left shoulder and there was an injury to the neck, and thus triggering the statute where separate and whole scheduled and whole person ratings are treated and paid for separately. Thank you.
I'd like to follow up on the question that you asked the opposing counsel. You asked, when would a shoulder injury ever be off the schedule? And in my argument, I said, never. And you didn't really hear a clear articulation standard from the other side. And at best, she's saying if the shoulder injury isn't serious enough to cause an objective impairment to the neck, then it's going to be off the schedule and get more money. And that's why I said that it doesn't make any sense to interpret the statute so that shoulder injuries that are not as serious get more money than shoulder injuries that are more severe. And what happened in this case, the dying physician recognized that this was a very serious shoulder injury, so he gave the additional impairment, recognizing that the shoulder affecting the neck. I don't think he in any way intended that Mr. Maldonado received less benefits for doing that. And the opposing counsel never said why it wouldn't be possible just to put in a zero for that neck pain and then convert it and you keep the shoulder permanently on the schedule. And there would be no logical reason why you couldn't. Also, opposing counsel was asked what the standard was, and she really didn't clearly articulate it. I do believe the standard is correctly stated in the ICAP opinion. They just did not apply it properly. There's also been some discussion about, well, the judge has discretion to go ahead and say that this is a neck injury. The judge does not have discretion to go beyond the facts presented to the judge, and this was a case that there was just medical records presented. It wasn't like the judge really had to make credibility determinations, but there's nothing in the medical records, nothing in the evidence that suggests a neck injury. And if you think about the findings of fact that the judge made, he didn't really find a neck injury. He didn't. And what's important here is, was there a neck injury deserving of an impairment rating as a neck injury? The administrative law judge didn't say that there was any pain coming from the neck. And if he did make that finding, it would be unsupported by the evidence. The administrative law judge did not make a finding that it was the neck injury that was causing limitations in the neck range of motion. He didn't make that finding. And if he did, it'd be totally unsupported by the evidence, because all the evidence is that the problem is coming from the shoulder, not the neck. So to say that the judge has freedom to exercise discretion, first of all, he didn't really exercise discretion making factual findings that would support the ruling of an impairment rating for the neck, and he does not have the authority or the discretion to go beyond the clear evidence.
Could you address this argument that the conversion from a schedule to a whole person for determining the impairment is different from the 12-4C, giving a whole person rating for determining the CAP?
Oh, the CAP? There's a statutory CAP for permanent partial disability benefits and temporary disability benefits. It does not apply for permanent total disability. It does not apply for medical. But the way it reads is, if you have a 25% whole person impairment or less, you get $75,000. If you have greater than 25%, you get a total of $150,000 in temporary disability and permanent partial. So even when you have an extremity injury, let's say it's an injury to your wrist, which is clearly an extremity injury, you would convert that to a whole person just to figure out what CAP applies. Are you under the 25% or 25% or under whole person impairment, or are you over? And that's when that issue comes up.
And you're saying that's not what happened in the physician's report here?
No. First of all, a lot of times physicians, when they do look at extremity injuries, they don't do conversions. And if they do, a lot of times they put in there, but it's clearly an extremity injury. Here, we have just the opposite. We have the doctor putting in a whole person impairment rating and saying how this is coming from the shoulder. It's not coming from the neck. So, really, as a medical doctor, what else would you write in your report to signal to people reading it that I believe that this shoulder injury deserves a whole person impairment? I mean, he said it, and he said that the pain from the shoulder is causing the neck problem. And so I think that was a pretty clear guidance that this was a shoulder injury that clearly falls off the schedule. And I really do believe that if this case stands, the workers' compensation law in this state is going to be dramatically changed from the way it's been for decades. And there will be no way to convert a shoulder injury off the schedule. Does anybody ask any questions? I'm done. Thank you.
All right, thank you, counsel, for your excellent arguments. The case will stand submitted. A written opinion will issue in due course. That concludes the arguments for this docket. The court will be in recess.